Any sauce or salad. Tricolore salad, kebab on toast. We're here again. It's Trench Tips. They call me the Zach. They call him the Jack. He's the pro.
No.
Fucker.
Okay. I enjoy this with you because you're actually my best friend. I can't say that because we've got other friends in our friendship group that would be so mad. But for the listeners, they'd be so upset. But for the listeners, I can also be your best friend. But what I want to talk to you about today is something you're going to enjoy so hard.
We were thinking, weren't we, about what are those things within sales that make sense, but they shouldn't? And when you do them, you're looking around at the room thinking, am I in the Matrix right now? Because this shouldn't be working, but it is.
It is.
So I'll start you off with one. Pushing people away as a sales tactic. Actively looking to get them to not buy from you. Why is it working?
Why is it working? I don't know, but what I do know is it's working. I think the more you tell somebody like they can't have it or they don't need it, they're more likely to defend it. So when somebody feels like they're being pushed into something, a lot of the time you're going to get reactants. And that's where somebody, we know me as a human being and some of our other friends have very strong reactants. If I feel like you're trying to persuade me and you say, Jack, I think we should go whitewater rafting this weekend and I don't want to, you're going to try and persuade me and I'm going to get mad about it. Okay. But if you tell me that I can't go whitewater rafting, I'm probably going to start to defend it and come up with reasons why we should. That's probably one of the worst examples in history. But what I'm trying to say is the more you tell people that they can't do something, the more likely they are to defend it and want to do it.
Yes, I agree. There's more reasons not to buy from you than there are to buy from you. All objections are best dealt with by the prospect, not the salesperson. Thusly, if I bring up all the reasons not to buy from me and I push you away, actively bringing up all the potential objections on your behalf, as you take them off the table, what are we potentially left with? Me and my little pen, ready to work with you.
I love it. And that's the thing. So if you're a seller, which you may be, go and list everything that somebody else can do instead of using you. And so many people would go, okay, well, I'm Salesforce, HubSpot, Zoho, CRM.org, whatever it is. But no, actually, that there are alternatives. You could use pen and paper. You could hire somebody to build their own. So think about outside the box. What else could you do? And say, well, why don't you? It doesn't sound like you're too busy. Why don't you just do it manually? No, there's too much data. And they will come up with the reasons and therefore motivate themselves to be interested. That was so good. Give me another, Zach.
Okay, so the next one that shouldn't work is the idea of exclusivity. So what I mean by that is in a lot of luxury sales processes, it's actually very hard to just buy something. So what tends to happen is I don't wear one, but this is what I hear. You go into a Rolex shop, dealer, whatever they call them, and you say, I'd like to buy a Rolex, please. And they say, can't do that. No, these aren't Rolexes for sale. These are just on show. And they sit you down. They make you fill out all of this paperwork. They see if you approve to be part of the brand. And suddenly I'm feeling a little bit special. And actually, what they end up selling me is the waiting list. The waiting list, Jack. So they say to me, after all that work, we'll put you on the waiting list. And when the Rolex we think suits you is available or you've passed our checks, then we'll call you back and you'll be ready to go. Do you think that's insane that that works?
I think it's insane, but I've been listening to a few podcasts recently and that happens not just with Rolex, in more items than you think. I heard it about cars recently. I don't know if it was Lamborghini or Bugattis or something like that, but there's a few different car manufacturers that do that. And also handbags, which is absolutely crazy. So it's like what we're saying is if you want the top deal and you want to come in and you want to have the cherry off the cake, that's nice. But actually, you've got to eat seven layers of cake first.
Very true. Very true. And what you've sometimes got to think is that I think is very, very interesting. A lot of purchases out there are status purchases. How many people do you think have bought a Rolex because they love the fine intricacies of the Swiss mechanical watch, or they love the heritage of the Omega Seamaster, or like the, what they're buying it for is the status of being seen with that watch on their arm and signaling something. So what they're actually being sold on then becomes much more emotionally tied than just, oh no, actually on second thoughts, now I'm filling all this paperwork out, I'm all right. You know what I mean? So the act of doing that is like, look how much more status this feels. Now this is your way into the exclusive club. And what we found when we started a sales consultancy, our consulting brand, other consultants are available, is what we started off with first is just a waiting list. So just a, look, we can't work with many people. If you are interested, jump on this waiting list. There's a bit of a questionnaire to fill out. If we think you're someone we can help, we'll be in touch. So when we started that brand, we could probably only work with three clients. We worked with three clients. It's done. Right. That leads in nicely to making the sales process slightly harder for the buyer. So not just being like a passive seller, he just makes the process very, very easy, making it slightly harder. Jack, what have you got to tell me?
Well, that gives me one word. When you make, when it's very easy in X, Y, and Z, it feels transactional. It feels like, do you know what I mean? No one ever says, oh, the women on the checkout at Tesco is a great salespeople, do they? They say they're, write that down, that was good. They say they're transactional wizards, okay? So actually, like by getting a little bit of buy-in, one thing that you've done recently, which I admire you for, and I think it's really, really interesting, is the booking process. So you'll get a lot of people reach out to you. We do get a lot of inbound because of the nonsense we post on LinkedIn. And people say, listen, I'd love to possibly see if we could work together. You send them a Candly link, and within that Candly link is a qualification process. Break down, and it's quite tricky, isn't it, to probably get through. It's like a, I don't know if you've seen Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, but it's a bit like that.
Yes, it is. So the first one is, I let you know our charges. For we have a meeting, our charges are going to be anywhere from 3K to 10K per month. Does that sound ridiculous? That's the first question. So some people who reach out and they're going to be tire kickers, when they read that, they go, oh, a bit too much money. I wasn't expecting that. Yeah, never mind. And they close it down. So I've made it a bit harder for them.
Jack, and just pause on that. No, just because you'll get people in the comments like we always do, but just saying like, but how do you, don't you drive value? And if the value is big enough, they'll find the budget, which I understand. And I hear people say that. But I also think that if you've got the budget of a Ford Mondeo and you're looking at Ferraris, doesn't fucking matter, does it? If you've got $3,000 to buy a car, but you're looking at Ferraris, it ain't going to work. So it's just, are you comfortable with that? And I think that's a great qualification one. Sorry, Zach Thompson, please continue.
No, I couldn't agree more with you. And you came across really well when you were just talking then. So well done. The next one is, what problem are you currently trying to solve that you hope we can help you with? This does two things. Lets me see how clear they are in their understanding of the problem. But it also, when they fill it out, shows how motivated they are to fix it. Alongside that, so how well they understand the problem, how motivated they are to fix it in having to write it down and put their thoughts from pen to screen. The next one after that is, what problem do you solve for your customers? Oftentimes when we're speaking to people, they actually don't know the answer to this question. What they end up telling me is what they do. I'm just looking at one now, actually. What problem do you solve for your customers? Building tech platforms is one of the things that they've put. That isn't a problem. That's what you do. So again, it lets me know what kind of understanding they've got of selling. Potentially, there's going to be an easy fix there where I can just change their messaging. They get that for free on a discovery call. See you later. We don't have to work with you. Everyone goes home happy. The next one is, how soon are you looking to start? And there's different options for this. If it says yesterday, great. There's a motivation to do something. If it says, I'm actually don't really know yet, I'm just curious, then probably not something that I'll be rushing to put all my best efforts into. And then lastly, I let them know the commitment. So I let them know we're going to be working together for anywhere from 4 to 12 months. Are you still comfortable talking? So I make the process very, very hard to get into the diary. When I'm sat down with people, what do I get because I've made it very hard?
You get commitment, attention, bit more buy-in, people are happy to play the game a little bit more.
Exactly, exactly. I know there's a guy that sells some sort of course, and the initial thing that he started doing was the initial call with him or something like that is £1. But he said the difference between the closing rate when someone's had to actually fill something out, even give me £1 before they start, compared to the one they close. People who aren't willing to fill something out or give me a little bit of cash first aren't going to close anyway. So worth thinking about for people out there. And then the last one, Jack, maybe I can hand over to you for this one, is when you give all the bad news up front, why does that work? Because it sounds absolutely insane.
Sounds insane. And it's similar to what you're doing with like the qualification process. But typically, what you don't want to do is get to the end of a 30-minute call and deliver the price, deliver the commitment, deliver the payment terms, deliver when they could stop, whatever it is that people usually cling on to and say, oh, that's too expensive, I don't like that. When you do your package, your offer, your Alex or Mosey, it's in my hands, I'm going to present it. So by getting all the bad news up front, it alleviates that pressure. And you find out if people are committed and they're motivated to stay because they know everything, like you've said in your qualification calendar as well. But also it relieves that pressure of like, a lot of people feel like when they're in a sales process, I'm being sold a dream here. I know he's going to hit me with a big price. I know it's come. And then they say it and they're like, oh, if you just take that off the table, like it just makes everybody feel more relaxed, more calm, which means you can focus on better discovery. And you've got there first. You'll disqualify people that aren't interested, and you will take the pressure off the people that might be interested, which I feel like you have better conversations. And actually, because 99% of salespeople don't do this kind of selling, you actually stand out more, and the majority of people just respect it. And the people that don't respect it go, yeah, that's not for me. You've saved yourself time because they were never going to buy.
Exactly.
I've been Jack Frimston.
You never had.
Exactly. Exactly, indeed.
What were you going to say then? You were going to tell me who you've been for the call?
I've been Jack Frimston.
And I've been Zach Thompson. And that leads us nicely onto this week's secret task. Last week, I gave away 2 vouchers for, I think, £400 each, those 2 vouchers.
Yeah, a lot of money.
So the task this week, Jack?
The task this week is... let's do an internal challenge. So our operations director is called Ben Owen. He's a great guy. He's not on LinkedIn a lot, but what you should do is you should connect with Ben Owen. And when you put the little note, just put, I'll have the breast, please. And he'll be grateful of that because Christmas is coming up. We're doing our food orders. If he receives 5 to 10 messages saying, I'll have the breast, please, I think he'd be happy. I think he'd find that fun.
Yeah, and people who already are connected with him, also, if you could message him, I'll have the breast, please. All we ask for is a screenshot that you've done that and send it to either or Jack to let
us
know.
Get your money right over.
And we'll get your money right over. So, look, it's been great. I'm enjoying this a lot. As always, Jack, you are a pickled character. Cheers.